Hello, everyone, and welcome to Thrifter's Villa, a podcast for resellers and entrepreneurs. I'm Daniela, and today I am bringing you another Thrifter's Villa reunion tour episode. And this episode is with Christina Sharalyn, aka Little Black Hanger, if you're a reseller who's been around since 2017-ish, around there. Christina was on the podcast in season one. She was basically our go-to about vintage designers, how to style vintage items, vintage home decor. That was kind of her thing. And then things shifted for Christina, and I wanted her to come on and chat about it with all of us and get to know where she is now and what the future of reselling and YouTube looks like for her. So I hope you guys enjoy this episode, and we will see you at the table. Hey, everyone. Welcome back to another episode. This is the Thrifter's Villa Reunion Tour, and today I am sitting down with Christina Sharalyn, a.k.a. Little Black Hanger, which doesn't exist anymore, but that's who she was when she first came on. So thank you, Christina, for coming back on and chatting with us. I know a lot has changed since season one.
Yes. Thank you for having me again.
Yes. So excited to talk to you. It's always a good time talking to you. But I know that we have new listeners, and they might not have any idea of who you are. What the hell is Little Black Hanger? Like, they may not know what that is. It's been a while since you've even
been... can't come to the phone right now.
So why don't you tell everyone who you are, how you get into reselling, and just who you are today, too, because I think that's really important, because we are no longer Little Black Hanger here.
No longer. She can no longer come to the phone. Okay, I'm Christina. And yes, Little Black Hanger was, I guess, the brand that I started. Sorry, I did air quotes and you can't
see okay.
Me.
I saw them.
You saw me. It was the brand that I started back in 2017, which seems like a millennia ago.
Yeah.
I started my Poshmark closet under that name, and then I started my YouTube channel also under that name. And as time progressed, so did I, and the brand name just didn't seem fitting anymore, and I kind of just started going by my own name, because I didn't like the pressure of, like, feeling like I was a brand.
Yeah, yeah.
So did that, changed my closet name. And now we're here, and I don't even know.
It's okay. I'll ask
a
question
here.
What did you sell? Like, what? How did you kind of fall into that reselling space? What were you selling?
Yes.
And then what was your YouTube channel about? Because your YouTube still exists, but I know you do not upload as frequently as you once did.
Yeah.
Or at all at this point.
So at all. Yeah. We'll get into that. Yeah, so I started out selling just basically what every other reseller sells, brand name stuff. And then I really got into the vintage space, which I really loved and adored. And that's what really, like, sparked the fire for me and, like, kept me going for so long. And then, yeah, the YouTube channel started out as just me sharing my reseller journey and, you know, kind of giving, like, tips and tricks here and there, doing, like, day in the life vlogs and just helping people out within the community. And then it turned into more like styling vintage and talking more about vintage. I did a lot of the history of brands and, you know, just sharing knowledge and love of vintage.
And then you also did trends, which I also enjoyed
yes,
watching that
trends.
From you. Yeah,
the trim.
You do really listen. You make great YouTube videos, and I completely understand how difficult it is and how it's hard to keep up with when you're moving in a million places. And it's like YouTube requires so much attention, and as soon as you start to not dedicate that attention and time to it, you just don't see the results that you should see, and then it's discouraging. And it's like you're not making millions on YouTube unless you're like some big name, and like it just.
Right.
It's a lot of work. for not a lot of compensation, but at the same time, when you create YouTube videos, you kind of know that going into it, and like you're creating them because you want to engage with the community. It's kind of like podcasting. It's the same thing. You're not making millions, but like you want to engage with the community. You want to have those conversations. And you did a really great job. I loved the way you broke down the trends. I always loved when you talked about trends, but then looked at vintage and was like, look at all these great vintage pieces that resemble this current trend that's going on right now. And I think the current gen, the younger generation, right, younger than us, that's what they're doing. They're going into the thrift stores and they're looking at all these pieces and they're finding vintage pieces that are mimicking whatever the runway is or TikTok or whatever it is showing them. And it's so fascinating to me because I feel like as millennials, we don't think about it that way.
No, because if you shop at the thrift store, I know when I was a kid, I used to get bullied for shopping at the thrift store and not having like mall clothes. So it is interesting.
It's totally
it's good different. Though I'm very happy for them.
And they're so good at it. Like I watch them and I'm just amazed. I'm like, I would have never in a million years put that together. Okay, so these are the things that you did, and I loved when you started to kind of dabble into Etsy too, because you really took a leap and started looking at home goods and kind of going into that area of reselling. And I feel like all of us as resellers at some point want to like dabble into these other little areas and see how it goes for us. You didn't stick with that though.
No, I didn't. Etsy, I love the idea of Etsy. It's beautiful. I shop on there. I search on there all the time. I'm constantly scrolling on Etsy, but Etsy is like, but on steroids. It's difficult to sell on, unfortunately. And you know, kudos to the sellers that do make it work on Etsy, because I mean, props to them. I can't do it, but it's so much work. And also Etsy really started making a lot of changes, especially lately, where the fees are just absolutely through the roof. And it I don't know, it for me, it was like, if I was to just sell on Etsy, then it would be worth it. Right. But because I had items spread out across so many platforms, I would spend all this money on listing fees on Etsy, and then it would sell on another platform. So that's like money. And I know it's just like 20 cents a listing, but it adds up pretty quickly.
Right.
So it just wasn't worth it to me.
Yeah. And I think that's totally fair. I think as sellers, we have to try different things and then we figure out what works and what doesn't work. And for some people, it's Mercari. For other people, it's Depop. It just depends on what you're selling and what you're doing. So I know that you reached a point in your reselling journey and you kind of took a step back. And there was some stuff that went on in your life personally, right? Like, we don't have to get into it if you don't want to, but you can absolutely share it, 'cause I know you've openly shared it on your YouTube channel as well. Why don't we tell the people kind of like what happened and then how it kind of brought you to where you are today?
We can talk about whatever you want. So when I started reselling, I was living in South Florida. What year was it? I don't even know what year it is.
Was that 2000? It was right before, right before the pandemic, or was it during the pandemic?
Yeah.
It was like
before. So
2019, 2020 range.
So the thing that we're alluding to was my breakup.
Yes, yes.
I was engaged and we had a dog together and a house together and all this. And went through a really bad breakup. And I moved to Georgia to be closer to my family and to just get a fresh start. And that was, I moved March 6th of 2020. So like 2 weeks later.
Yeah. The world ended. The
funniest thing happened. I can only think of like the Bo Burnham special. I don't know if you watched that. But where he's like, and the funniest thing happened. Yeah. Like every time. It's like, I was so ready. It's like, oh gosh. I've never really talked about like this side of it. So at that point I was making the most reselling that I've ever made. I was on top of my game. YouTube was doing really good revenue. I was killing it.
You were pumping out videos like once a week, twice a week, depending on what was going on, right?
Yeah. I was doing Instagram live streams, mm-hmm. and, you know, I was killing it. I was at the top of my game, and then the pandemic happened. And, like, I was so excited to move to Georgia and, like, start this new chapter. I had new content that I could make, and I was like, this is going to be really, really good. And then that happened, and it just kind of all came crumbling down and kind of just, like, stripped it down to bare bones.
Yeah.
So, yeah. A lot's changed since then because of that.
How did you navigate that, I guess? Because your intentions were to continue reselling, right? You're moving, you're going to be closer to family. This is all great. We're in a new area. All this great new content that I can provide my viewers with because I'm in a new place and, like, all these new experiences. Mm-hmm. How did you personally keep the business afloat, or did you just kind of say, I can't do this, period?
I kept it afloat for a while. Luckily, the vintage is very good in Georgia, like in the South. I don't know what it is about Georgia, but the vintage thrifting is very good. So that's kind of what kept it steady. And I just kept trying to make content. I think one thing that a lot of people don't talk about, especially like in the YouTube community, is how badly revenue was affected during the pandemic. Because you would think we would be making more money because everyone, you know, is at home. That's all they can do. But I don't know if Google AdSense just stopped paying as much or what, or the ad revenue was just off. I don't know what it was, but my YouTube channel took a tank, even though I was getting more views. So that, you know, that gets discouraging. And, you know, it's not always about the money. But when that's, you know, your job. It is discouraging at that point.
of course. And how were you getting inventory during that time? Like, what did it look like in Georgia in terms of trying to get inventory?
Yeah. So for like the first, I would say, 6 months of the pandemic, obviously I wasn't going anywhere.
Yeah.
I had stuff already like stocked up. I had like a huge death pile from when I moved. And I brought inventory with me. So it was really just like relisting, trying to focus on that, listing stale inventories. I had boxes and boxes of stuff that had like stains or whatever. So I like had to keep myself busy with that. Really, I tried to just dive into YouTube, and, you know, just to keep my head afloat. And then I know a lot of resellers were doing this too, where they were like swapping inventory or they would get inventory like online. And I did try that for a little bit. For me, I really love like seeing it in person before, you know, buying it, but it helped a little bit during that time.
Yeah. So we're going to fast forward a little bit and the pandemic's. All right. It never really ended, but like life was somewhat more normal, right? Like it was just this ongoing thing, but it became a little bit more normal. Stores were open. We were able to go places and kind of like start to do these normal activities that we once did. And reselling didn't feel like an impossible thing anymore. You always talk about mental health and the importance of like taking care of yourself and taking that time to recognize like when things aren't right and openly sharing it, because I think it's really important as we go through things. There's like this stigma, right? Where if there's something going on in our life, we have to be really quiet and like keep it to ourselves. And you only share it with those people that you're really, really close with. But sometimes you just kind of want to scream it and you just kind of want to say it. And I think you really took to social media and YouTube and share like these new things that you were feeling and being more comfortable in who you were as a person and being open about that. And I know it must have been difficult for you because it's not an easy thing to do, but I think it's so encouraging to see people who are in this niche community of being a reseller expose themselves as a real person, because I think it's so easy in this community to become like this figure of some sort of like, yeah, this weird anomaly person who just does reselling and there's nothing else behind it all. And it's like, no, there's like, yeah, a whole human being that goes through things that you don't know, yes, about.
Yeah. And I've never been the type of person who can just put on a persona and like act like everything's fine. Cause like I can say that everything's fine, but I'm the type of person, my face is going to show everything. And when you're on camera 24/7, it's like, I can't hide it. And I would have people, even if I would have moments, especially right around like the breakup. And I've gone back and like watched those videos of where you can just see it all over my face that something's wrong. Mm-hmm. But obviously I wasn't ready to share it. And that was another tough one that was really hard. Cause you know, he had been in my videos and like the dog was in the videos. Yeah. And that was a really tough thing. Cause like, I knew I had to address it. I couldn't just like pop up in a new location and like act like everything's fine. So
we're here
it's
now.
A fine line. Right. Here we are. Where are you? Like, this is a hostage situation. Have you been kidnapped? What's going on?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I applaud you for that. I know it wasn't easy. I mean, it hasn't been easy for me to come out and say certain things too, you know, that's been going on with me personally. And I haven't like come out on Instagram and said it per se, but you know, I've said it on the podcast and stuff when it comes to, you know, fertility and everything and how like that's such a silent community in general, never mind in the reselling space, but like in general, yeah, infertility is a silent community. You go into a clinic, no, right, one talks. It is silent in the clinic and there's like 10, 15, 20 people there with you and everyone's just on their phone. There is no communication. Like it is, it's a very difficult topic, obviously, to talk about, but I have learned, yeah, and I think it's because I have this platform, it's easier for me to communicate it out than I think some other people, but I still like hold it in a little bit. Like, I don't want to say too much because I don't know how it's going to trigger some people, or some people will be like, why is she talking, right, about this on this platform? This has nothing to do with reselling. Why are you talking about IVF right now? But it's like, it's a part of who I am. So it's hard to find that balance when you produce content. And I think,
yes,
go ahead.
Oh no, I was just, it's also difficult to like, it just popped in my head when you were saying like, oh, people are like, why is she talking about this on this platform? But like the amount of like Instagram followers or like YouTube subscribers that I would lose like every time I cried on the internet. It's like,
bye.
That used to really bother me, but now I'm just like, I don't even care.
Right. It is what it is. And if you don't want to listen, you can either skip ahead, because I promise there'll be more reselling content. Like, you can skip right over, yes, this, but it's just, like, yeah, we're not just these robots that go to the thrift store that find things and then do hauls or whatever and then list, yeah, things on. Like, there's more to us. And
right,
there's, I hate to even say this, but I feel like during that, like, 2020 to now, really, we've lost a little bit of that authenticity that once existed in the reselling community back in, like, 2017, 2018.
I agree.
Like, There was a reason why all of us jumped into the reselling community and really fell in love with it. And it kind of got lost along the way. And I don't know if we'll ever 100% get back to like what that was. And if you guys weren't in the community at that time, yeah, you know, it was just a very, felt very family-like. Like, everyone talked, yeah, to everyone. It was like everyone helped each other out the best that they could. I mean, there's always outliers, right? Like, not everyone. But
it was lawless.
Yeah. but there was like this certain, you felt connected, and now I feel so disconnected from the reselling space.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
I don't even, like, yeah, I don't know who's coming, who's going. I don't know the latest drama. I don't care about the latest drama, like, whatever. But
there's drama?
Yes. Christina's like, I don't even know.
No, I don't even get on Instagram anymore.
Right. Oh, speaking of, when I reached out to you, I was like, Christina's not going to answer me. She is never on Instagram. And when you did, I was like, oh, she's going to message. Okay.
Just living my life. I get on there. I just never post anymore.
Same.
And
it's rare.
Or interact. But yeah. I'm around.
But anyway, I just think, like, the authenticity is really important. And that's what always inspires me when I, like, especially when Jen and I ask people to come on here, it's like, we want people who are authentic and that are more than just this reselling person. Like, there's more to them, right? And there's more to all of us. We just have to be willing to put it out there. Anyway, long spiel, but okay, we're in present day. What does reselling look like for you? Do we still have the boyfriend? Is he still in the picture?
We do.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, because he's really sweet, and I really like him.
Me too.
You guys are a really great match.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I've tried to keep his internet presence to a minimum.
Yeah.
Because I feel like, I don't know, I feel like I jinxed it last time.
That's okay. My husband works in law, so like he is never on the, like, he doesn't even have a profile picture. Like, he is just, he does not exist on the internet. And whenever I post something, I'm like, is this okay to post? You can see your head. Yeah. Is that fine? Like,
right. Your arm is in this. Is that good?
Yeah. So I totally get it. So, yeah. Okay. Present day. What does life look like for Christina present day?
Present day. My life is kind of boring.
I love that for you though.
Yeah. I love it too. Honestly. I don't know. I've become very much a hermit. I'd never leave my house.
This episode is brought to you by La Quinta by Wyndham. Your work can take you all over the place, like Texas. You've never been, but it's going to be great because you're staying at La Quinta by Wyndham. Their free bright side breakfast will give you energy for the day ahead. And after, you can unwind using their free high-speed Wi-Fi. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book your stay today at LQ.com.
Is that a product of the pandemic? Maybe. But I feel like I was already like that a little bit. I was already kind of like socially awkward. Like, people had to drag me out of the house. But yeah, when it comes to reselling, I have gotten in this mindset where I just stay in my own lane. Like, we kind of talked about this, about like the drama, like, I don't know. Never seen it. I have felt like a huge disconnect from the community. Like, I used to do like on Instagram and like talk to everyone in the community, and I haven't done that in years. And I haven't really talked to anyone, which kind of sucks. There's a few people like here and there that I do keep in contact with. But other than that, I just kind of keep to myself. I go to the thrift store like once or twice a week. You know, I've also gotten very picky about what I pick up too, because we live in a very small apartment and you know, the storage just isn't there. And I'm honestly tired of there being piles everywhere.
Right.
So it's just become very minimal and, you know, here and there. And like I was telling you earlier, I'm trying to like, you know, kind of find some like, I don't want to say normalcy, because, you know, being a reseller is a normal job. Yes. It's a job. But I want some stability. I'm very much craving stability. The instability has made me a little crazy.
But I don't think you're alone in that. I think we've seen a big shift of a lot of who once were full-time sellers take this step into getting a traditional, I guess we'll say, 9-to-5.
Yeah, traditional.
Right?
Yeah.
And maybe still reselling for fun or being so particular about the things they pick up for reselling because they just bring them joy. And like, they don't care right. What they're making from it. It's more of like, it's this fun passion that I have and I would like to continue doing it. But when it comes to paying my rent or paying my mortgage, I want to make sure that I have that money coming in. And
right.
You're not the first one from like that initial OG group, right? From the 2017, 18 range that has done that. We've seen other people do it as well. And I think everyone has seasons of reselling, and that's just where you are right now. And that's not to say that maybe in the future you decide to go a completely different direction with reselling or YouTube creation, and it might take you a different place. Right. You know, I think it's okay to have those conversations. I don't think there's enough of those conversations happening in the community. I think it's always that push to like go full time, make as much money as you can. Like, that's the conversation that exists, not the sometimes it's okay to pull back from full time and go back to working a regular job because that's what fits my lifestyle right now.
Yeah. Well, and I told you before we started, like, that I didn't want to be like a Debbie Downer. I was like kind of nervous because I was like, oh, what do I have to talk about other than like
everything sucks?
Negative, but like everything sucks. If I cry,
it's okay. If no, you cry, I'll start crying. Everyone will cry together. It'll be okay.
It wouldn't be, you know, an interaction with me if there was no crying. But yeah, so I didn't want to be like a Debbie Downer. But you're right. Like, there's, I feel like there is just like this stigma or like this standard in like the community that you have to be like so happy about it all the time. And like, reselling is the best thing that ever happened to me. And I have so much freedom. And it's like, yes, you do. But like,
yeah, but do you? Let's have a real conversation here. Do you really have freedom? Because if you are your own boss, you do not have freedom. The freedom that you have is that you are not reporting to someone else.
Yeah. Like, if I want to go on vacation, I don't have to clear it with someone. That's correct. Nice.
If I don't want to work today, I don't have to.
Right. If I want to take a mental health day, I can, and I don't have to explain myself. I don't have to get a doctor's note. So yes, in that sense, the freedom is there. But you also think about it 24/7, even when you're on, even when I'm having my mental health day.
It is on your phone and it doesn't stop.
Never.
And you have to constantly, especially when this is your only job. And I think this is so important. This is not to discourage anyone by any means. It's just the reality of it. It is the reality of being a full-time seller. You need to constantly be sourcing the items that you need to source. You need to constantly be photographing, listing. Like, it's not just about the sourcing. Forget it. It's more than that. Because once you source, it's you got to process. You got to photograph. You got to list. You got to make sure you do all the things on every platform. Sharing, offers, all of the things. You got to ship. And then you've got to do inventory checks. You got to make sure that everything is in line. Because this is your income to pay all of your bills, to help you survive, to help you buy food, right? And then there's this thing called taxes that are very complicated when it is your only job.
Yes. Oh my gosh, yes.
It's a lot of work. Being a small business is not easy. Never mind in the business of reselling clothing or shoes or vintage home decor. I don't care what it is. It's a lot of work. And
exhausting.
I think that the...
Not to mention...
Go ahead.
The content creating too, because now it's like you can't even be a reseller without doing some form of content, like marketing yourself. That's another
that's a whole nother thing. Before, content creation was like this fun extra thing that you could do that would, you know, help you kind of be known in the community. But if you are someone that is doing live sales, you have to pump out that content and create a following. It can be to other resellers or it could be to just people in general. So you could be on TikTok and creating all this content to get people into your shows, just average buyers. That's a lot of work.
Yeah. I tried to do TikTok, let me tell you. I am not cut out for this.
I have no interest.
Because it took me longer. No, I really don't. But I was like, okay, this is what I have to do now, because I was really trying to cling to it and just hold on to, like, okay, just got to keep up with the times, push through. It took me longer to edit a TikTok than it did a 30-minute YouTube video.
That says a lot.
You can't do this. Can't.
That's
done.
Too much.
Yeah, I'm getting older. I can't do this.
but I think it's important for us to realize, like, we are getting older, right? Like, we're not old, but we are getting older. And there's like this, at what point do we want to continue to, I guess, hustle is the word to throw in there, that constant go, right? And at what point do we want to take that step back? Because, you know, okay, I may only be 36, but it is harder for me to do certain things that I did at 33. Right. Like, there's only a 3-year difference, but it's harder. Like, the energy's not there. There's responsibilities that have come up. Like,
Yeah. I feel like the world is like aging us so much quicker.
Yes. Too.
Like so much more quickly. Like it's, God, I feel 80.
Yeah. But I think social media has a big part of that where it's like, you feel like you need to be constantly on social media to know what's going on in the world, which I hate. And then there's like this aspect of like the world itself just moves really quickly and you either keep up with it or you don't. So that's just right. How it works. And then everything is really expensive and you're trying to figure out how to survive and, you know, eat a meal. I don't know, put gas in your car, like simple things. And like the only way that I know for me personally to keep up with all these extra expenses that have come up is I have to resell. I don't have this is my part-time job. Otherwise, I would have to go back out into the retail or whatever and work a part-time job in person, work all day, my, you know, 7 hours, 8 hours, and then work another 6 hours, 5 or 6 hours at night, come home at like midnight and then do it all over again. Like I did that for years. I don't want to do that again. So for me, I'm trying to create stability in reselling, but man, oh man, have I found it difficult in the last year to 2 years. It has become extremely difficult, and I've never been full time. So I can't even imagine like what it felt like for you, because I'm struggling finding the stability to be making the sales that I was even making last year. I am not even coming close to my numbers last year. I'm not.
Yeah.
Now, have I pulled back? Yeah. But I also source differently. I'm way more particular. I'm trying to pick up those items that I know are going to make me, you know, X amount of money and I don't have to do as much work. But I'm finding it harder and harder. And I'm just curious, like, what your thought process is on that, too, because I feel like we're here. This is a common theme, I would say, in the reselling community right now, is that it is becoming so difficult to attain what was once attainable.
Yeah. Honestly, it's so funny because back when like I started my YouTube channel or whatever, I was really interacting with the community and like new resellers would ask me questions about reselling and I felt like I like had all the answers. Mm-hmm. You know, you hear it all the time. And if you've been in the community for a long time, you know, like everyone's like, just be consistent.
Just list more
and
items.
Like, sometimes it's like, yes, but, you know, and honestly, I don't know that I have an answer anymore. Like, I'm really at that place where I don't know. Like, I thought I knew, and I've been in this community for so long, and obviously I knew something in order to, you know, get to the level of success that I did, but now I'm like, I don't even know anymore. I really don't. And I hate that. Like, I hate that that's my answer, but I really don't know. If anybody does know, please.
I tell people the same thing. So in our Patreon group, we've had this conversation in our monthly Zoom. And I've literally said to them, like, I don't have an answer for you guys. I have no idea. I know nothing. I really Everything don't. I used to know doesn't even count it's anymore.
Not even real anymore.
like.
Yeah, because there's
nothing I can tell you because I don't know.
I really don't. I try to do, I mean, I list as much as I do it when I can now and in between like the job hunting and, you know, doing other like side work or whatever. I do it here and there. And it really, even to this day, amazes me like in this market, what sells and what doesn't. I like, there's no rhyme or reason. There used to be, but now I'm like, I don't even know. And the last few times I've been at the thrift store, I'll see like really good brands and stuff. And I'm like, should I, like, I don't know if I should even pick this up because last time I picked up that brand, it sat for 6 months or like, you know, but then you buy it and it sells immediately. And you're like, okay.
Yeah. Everything I knew is a lie. Everything is a lie. But that's how I felt lately. So
it's a lie.
So funny that you bring that up going to the thrift store and like leaving certain brands behind because I recently had this conversation with my friend Jill. She's a local seller and we've talked about it. And it's like brands that we used to be so hyped for, like even like the most simplest thing, like a, because back in 2017, 2018, if you found a brand new J. Crew dress, new with tags with a new label, like that thing sold, like people wanted that. If you find that now, you're like, what? move on. Like, just keep it going. It's not going to sell. It's just not. It's just going to sell. I don't care how cute it is. It's not going to sell. But even there are certain designer brands that, like, I look at and I'm like, but why? Like, I will leave it. I will not pick it up. It's not worth my time or energy to even, like, think about it. And I know we all sell different things, right? So everyone's experience is different. But the things that I sell and people who sell things are very similar to me seem to be experiencing the same thing. That I feel like the brands that are selling for me are, well, I think shoes in general, shoes are always going to sell to some capacity. So I feel like shoes you can kind of take out of the equation because they're their own thing. But when it comes to clothing, I feel like it's these newer, obscure brands that people are looking for are selling. Or it's like H&M and Zara and like these, what I consider fast fashion is selling for $50+ and it blows my mind because my brain can't compute that.
Yeah, I don't get it. It's like it's like we should be doing the reverse of like what we were taught.
Yes.
Because we used to be taught like Anthropology, Free People, like all these.
Yep. Madewell, you name it.
Yeah, Madewell. And none of that sells anymore. Like, I have so much Anthropology in my closet right now. I could open a location of Anthropology. You could
open an Anthropology store.
I could open my own franchise. And it just, it sells, but it's like for $10. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, well, now what? I guess Zara.
Well, here's the thing. With Zara, I feel like because there's blogger favorites, it makes sense. But I'm talking about like Zara pieces that aren't blogger favorites sell for a price point that baffles me, that I don't understand. And maybe it's because Zara's become so big in like that new world of social media where I feel like influencers are constantly pushing out Zara, H&M, like because they collab with them a lot. So maybe that's why, I don't know. But I have thought the exact same thing where I'm like, do I just need to do the opposite of what I've been doing this entire time? Like, is that the secret of success? Just
maybe
do the opposite.
The we fixed it.
And then the other thing too is like Anthropology, Free People, Madewell. Like, let's just take those three. They were not as accessible back in 2017 as they are today in 2023. True. And I think that plays a big part of it because they have more stores than they did then.
Yeah.
And people can get it. And I mean, you can find Anthropology and Free People at Marshalls and TJ Maxx. So like, it's not like
a
secret. You can find it there now. So there's like this, it's more accessible to people. And, you know, brands like TJ Maxx and Marshalls are smart because they can buy these pallets of things, put it out on the shelf for less money. Yeah. And it's going to attract people to go and get it there. Totally smart on their end. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what the answer is to like, to reselling in 2023. And I know people are going to say live selling and okay, maybe, but what if you don't want to live sell? Like the traditional sense of selling is always going to exist. It just is.
Of course. Yeah.
But it's a matter of figuring out how to make it work in 2023. And I really think this year, I set a goal for myself this year and it was, I don't want to grow. I want to stay exactly the same or like slightly below. And I want to do less work because I need to figure out where the world is going in order for me to continue to even want to thrift and want to do this, right? And I hate to say that because it makes it sound like I'm going to leave reselling. And I don't think any part of me will ever leave reselling. But I think I need to figure out what is happening in the interwebs in order for me to translate that to my business. And sometimes that means stopping everything and just kind of looking, investigating, talking, like see all that. And I'm curious, what are your thoughts on the whole live selling? Because live selling was not a thing when you were reselling full time in that capacity, in the larger capacity.
Yeah. And people were doing it like on their
YouTube and stuff.
And I've participated in like a live sale on someone else's channel. And it was fun. I enjoyed it. It's a lot of work for not a lot of payoff in my experience. And I don't know. It's just not for me. There's some people who are just like that. They're just bubbly and, you know, very outgoing and sociable, and I am not that person.
Well, you are the people that you're comfortable with.
I am. Yeah. I mean, I can get behind a camera and like talk and like I can, you know, if I'm comfortable with people, then I am that way. But I'm not just like, I don't know how these women, I see people do it. Like I'll get a notification on my phone at like 2 a.m. And I know there's like different time zones or whatever, but it's like midnight sale. And I'm like, how?
I've been sleeping for 2 hours already. Like what?
I'm not asleep, but I am doom scrolling through TikTok. Yeah, I don't know. I thought maybe I would try it, and I saw everybody was doing, I forget what was the app?
Whatnot.
Yes, Whatnot. And everybody was doing it, and I was like, okay, well, maybe I should. But then I just kept watching. I'm one of those people, that type of person that, like, I'll sit back and, like, wait for everybody else to figure it out. Mm-hmm. And then if it's, like, still good in a couple months, then I'll jump in. But I noticed like almost immediately everybody was like, the hype was like over.
Yeah.
And it was gone. I mean, it's still there, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, it's still there, but I do think that there's like it's leveled off. We'll say that. It is definitely leveled off on that platform when it comes to clothing sellers. I think there's like collectibles and stuff that do really well on that platform. Yeah. But that makes sense to me. I feel like when I think of live sales, I think of collectibles. I think of like those unique things. I think of home goods. Like that's what I think. Maybe it's because I think of QVC, but like those are the things that come to
like
mind.
Antique Roadshow.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Antique Roadshow. Things like that make sense to me. Trading cards. Like, okay, makes sense. When it comes to clothes, oh, here's my struggle with live sales. So I finally got Poshmark live sales access. I was on the wait list from the day that it came out, and I just got access 2 days ago. Yes. I'm like one of the last originals that went on the list. But like people that just started selling have access before me. And I'm like, all right, it's all right, Poshmark. I get it.
Fine.
Whatever.
You have a new baby. We get it.
So fine. I had access to it. And I've been like watching them on and off and like, I get the allure. I understand why people enjoy them. Could I do it? Yeah, I could get in front of a camera and talk and I could absolutely do it. Do I want to? No.
No.
No, I don't. No,
that's the thing. Could we do it? Yes. No. Yeah.
And you would never know that I'm miserable, but like you would never be able to tell on my face that I'm miserable this entire time. But like I've worked all day and now I gotta come home.
Right.
And I've got to do this show, like the thought of, and I've got like appointments, like I'm a human outside of reselling, you know what I mean? Like I like to work out after work. I want to make dinner. I want to, I don't know, have a conversation with my husband. A crazy concept, but like I sit down and have a conversation, maybe pet my cats. I don't know, like something, right?
Right.
And if I were now to dedicate, everyone says, oh, just do an hour show. Yeah, but that hour show means that I would have to prep that entire show, make sure it's all filled out. You're talking hours.
The prep. Because I know people that do live shows, and the prep and the behind the scenes work that it takes to put on a live show, it's like days of work.
Yes.
Days.
I'd rather be listing.
I don't have days. Right. I could just be listing.
I can photograph all day or half a day on a Saturday, and I've got all the things that I need for the week. And I don't have to worry about anything. I do it my own time. Right. And that this is why I don't personally think, yeah, will I try like a face-to-face live? Yeah, I think I will once. Yeah. Because I have access to it, and I kind of like curiosity. Like, I just want to see what happens. What's the worst that can happen? No one buys anything? Whatever. I'll just stand there and make a fool of myself the whole time. Like, I really don't care. Like, that stuff doesn't bother me. But I don't know how people who have families do it for like 2 hours a day, 3 hours a day, 4 hours a day. And I get that's your main job maybe when you're doing that. But I don't know. Yeah. My brain just can't, like, that's a lot of people time. People time is exhausting. Yeah.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yeah,
podcasting is exhausting.
That's what I'm saying. Maybe people are just extra extroverts and we are not.
And people think that we're extroverts and it's like, no, I actually talking at all.
I am the grumpy black cat of this community. Like, don't talk to me.
We only want to talk to people that we want to talk to, and that's it. And even then, I'm like, please get away from me.
But only right. I could be a little friendly for like an hour, but
we're getting close to our capacity as we speak.
No.
Yeah. I don't know, but like, is life selling the future? I don't know. Is life selling the future? Maybe. I don't know the answer to that.
No. I feel like that I've seen a lot of like drop shipping and a lot of like Amazon seller. It's getting into like where like the ethics for me is just like I'm not taking away toys from kids for Christmas to resell it for $500, you know, like that's where it starts to get like, and I feel like that's, at least that's what I've seen of like, there's more like new stuff and like people going into like stores and getting like clearance stuff, and which is, it's a fine line, like, you know, like the Cocomelon situation. What was it, like 2 years ago?
Yeah.
Nobody could find the little Cocomelon toys because everybody bought them up and was reselling them for like $500.
Yep. Or when the Squishmallow craze was happening during the pandemic.
Oh my God.
And people were sending them all in to Amazon and it was like impossible for others to go. Now you can find a Squishmallow anywhere. Like now it's nothing.
Everywhere.
But I mean, CVS and Walgreens have them now. Like it's so common. But I do think that it's hard sometimes to draw that line as to like, I mean, it is reselling. It is a form of it. It just doesn't align with what we do.
Yeah. Yeah. For me, that's just like a line that I'm not going to cross. I don't know. I'm curious to see how it goes. Honestly, like,
I can see you putting on a real cute show though. I could see it from you.
I would. Maybe I'll do a Halloween one. I could do like a holiday one.
Yeah. But I think you, because you've always been someone that likes to style things up. So I feel like the conversation you would have too would have meaning to it. It wouldn't just be, look at this piece. It's got flowers on it. You know what I mean? Like you'd be able to give a history lesson with it. Plus, let me style it for you right while we're here. Like you can wear it with this. And you could almost like make a whole bundle sale to someone.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like that's where you would do really well with it. Because it's already what you've done. You're just doing it in a different capacity.
Just live, yeah. I never thought about it like that.
And this is why we're friends. I'm just going to give you the ideas, all right? You do it, tell me how it goes, and then we'll go from there.
We'll see if I ever do it.
But I think you love Halloween, so I feel like that's a perfect one for you to do.
You have plenty of time to prep. I know I'm already preparing for Halloween as we speak because I hate summer, so like that's
you live in Georgia, how do you do it? Ew, gross.
I stay inside and I crank my AC up the winter. But no, I disassociate during the summer. Like I just pretend it's Halloween for 3 months. Until it actually is Halloween.
Oh, it's 4th of July? I don't know her.
Never met her. It's Summerween over here.
Yeah. I'm not a summer gal either. And I live in New England. I know it's beautiful with the beaches and the mansions and all that stuff. But no, give me fall and winter. I'm happy.
Yeah.
That's where I'm at. I don't know. I think I could see you doing a live sale. I'm just saying, I could see you doing it.
I'll have to get with you on that one.
I'll be an MC for you. Maybe. A virtual MC. I'll hype you up.
I need a hype man. A hype woman.
So yeah, you mentioned, I don't know. Oh, go ahead. Sorry, I interrupted you.
Nope.
Oh, I was going to say, you mentioned that you are looking for full-time work. What type of full-time work are you looking for? And I actually want to throw this out there. Are you going to add reselling to your resume? Because I've actually had a few people ask me recently if they should add reselling to their resumes. They're looking for jobs.
Okay. So for me, I had this same like conundrum. I've already gone through, I've been job hunting for months and it is brutal. I do not recommend it. If you have a job, just stay there.
Yeah. So I know they say there's lots of jobs out there, but it's very hard to get that one said job that is out there. It is very difficult right now.
So for one job, like I've been going on, I've since changed my like approach to job hunting, but when I first started, I was going on like Indeed and like all those like job board sites.
Yeah.
And like every job that I would apply for had like over 2,000 applicants, because it'll show you like after you apply mm-hmm. how many people applied. It's insane just to like get through. So I've gone back to a more old time approach and I'm just cold calling places.
I was gonna say, you cold calling?
Absolutely.
Love that.
Like, are you hiring? No, cool, bye. And then if they are, I go. I actually just applied at a daycare because I used to, well, that was my first job. That's what I did before reselling too. And before the makeup artist, I've done many things, but
same.
Yeah. And they actually they didn't have any applications online. They had paper applications.
Oh,
so I felt like it was
okay. 2005
all over again. And I was like, okay, but that was fun. I forgot what the question was.
Did you add reselling to your resume?
Sorry. Okay. So I wasn't going to, but without it, I have a like almost 10-year gap.
Yeah.
Like that's insane. So yeah, I had to. if you were doing it part-time, I would say it depends on what job you're applying for. I changed my resume depending on what job I'm applying for, because some jobs, like, I don't need to go into like all this detail about a job that has nothing to do with what I'm applying for.
Right.
So I have several different versions of a resume.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, I do too. So there's like, I have like my business type resume, which is very like, it's got the analytics, it's got all the things in it that a business entity would want to know. I've got my marketing resume because I did marketing for so long, and that's got all the fun things. That one has reselling on it. It's got the podcast, it's got the YouTube, it's got all that stuff on it. And then I have one that's just retail focused, because who knows, someday in the future, maybe I gotta go back to a retail store and get a job. I don't know. So I have one of those too. But so the one that I used to get the job that I'm in now working for the state was actually my marketing one, because I didn't have another one. And they loved the marketing background, go figure. And I just wanted to hear your perspective on it. Cause I think if you're out there and you're listening and you're creating a resume and you want to get maybe into marketing or into buying or maybe into a retail, like something different than what you were originally doing, I think adding reselling is smart, because
absolutely,
you have buying experience, you have experience with inventory, you have experience with managing costs and all that kind of stuff. But if you're applying for like a receptionist job, I don't know if it necessarily applies to it. You know what I mean? Like, I think having it on there won't hurt, because it'll be a talking point. They'll definitely ask questions about it. But that you brought up a good point, because there was such a gap of employment history for you. You had to show something, because employers don't like to see large gaps.
Right. Right. I didn't want it to look like I've just, I don't know, been sitting
hanging out for 10 years.
Hanging out. But yeah, no, like you said, it really does show a lot of different avenues of experience doing reselling, because it's the one, like, it's just you and you're doing all of these things that it takes to run a small business. And also, don't undersell yourself either. You're a small business owner, like, that you're filing your taxes for it, you own it. You know what I mean?
So you're don't paying like, taxes, undersell my friend. Yourself.
Right. You're paying taxes. Get that title. Like, you, yeah. own, you earned it.
It's true. Whether Definitely. You're doing it full-time like, don't or undersell part-time. It.
Yeah, don't just be like, oh, yeah, well, I sell on Poshmark like sometimes. Like, no, girl. Or boy.
I own a small business.
You own a small business.
Yep. You Period. Sell clothing on the interwebs or in person. Yes. Some people have consignment stores. You don't have to go into like crazy yeah. detail. If you sell designer, say that. Like, who cares?
Right.
There right. is no shame
but
in it.
But you have, yeah, you have marketing skills. You have customer service skills, mm-hmm. working with inventory, the math skills that none of us asked for.
Yeah.
for our taxes. I have tax experience.
Right, right. I know Maybe how I to file taxes.
A tax prepper. I don't know.
I know.
I don't even know what that's called.
I don't know. Oh, I don't know if that has a title.
I know. I know what it is. I just can't think of it off the top of my head.
It's okay. Oh, gosh, but I just thought it would be a, you know, it's interesting to hear if people add reselling or not to the resume. Cause I know, yeah. There's like people that have come out and said that they have added it. And there's some people I've said, I didn't add it because it had nothing to do with what I want to go. Like maybe they had a different career before they started reselling. Right. And they want to go back to that career. So it doesn't make sense for them to add the reselling in there. But yeah. I almost feel like an employer would still ask questions because it'd be like, hey, from this date to this date, you got nothing here. So what'd you do?
Right. Yeah. It's better to show something than nothing.
Yeah.
In my opinion. I mean, yeah,
I agree. I don't know. And how is that job hunt going? Do we have any prospects?
It's frustrating.
That's a no.
It's frustrating. It's a long story. I did have, I was offered a job at a local retailer here. I did turn it down just because, I don't know, I've been out for so long that I know what I want and I know what I am willing to mm-hmm. take from mm-hmm. an employer. I'm not a teenager looking for a summer job. I'm not, you're not going to berate me. I'm not like, nothing, you know, I am a person. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I have to set boundaries. And even though like, yes, obviously I want to work like now, it's more worth it for me in the end to find a good fit than it is to just take the first job offered. So for reasons, I turned that one down. Now the daycare one, we have our fingers crossed. But the director is, she seems very busy. So we did have a good phone conversation, but she was supposed to email me something a week ago and hasn't. So
follow up on Monday. Okay.
Yes. Oh, girl. I've been following up every day. Like, hello.
So what does reselling look for you then right now and then once you get a job?
Yeah. So I'm just going to be doing it. I don't even want to say like part-time, but just like here and there because Cody, my boyfriend, actually resells as well.
Oh,
he works
okay.
full-time at Starbucks. He's the
I
manager
hear they
over
have great
there.
Benefits at Starbucks.
They do have amazing benefits and they pay very well. So if anybody wants to get a job, Starbucks is good. And they're always hiring. He sells shoes on the side on eBay. And I kind of want to do it like that, where we go to the thrift store together once a week and he'll just pick up, you know, a couple things here and there and list them throughout the week. And then, you know, and it's very, I don't know, he loves it. Like he has a passion for it because it's not something that's like he's depending on, mm-hmm. you know, for survival. It's like, mm-hmm. oh, it's like extra money. And like, mm-hmm. he actually really is very into shoes, like sneakers and stuff like that. So, yeah, I don't know. I get kind of jealous because I'm like, how are you so happy about this?
Give me some of that.
Right. I'm like, I wish I was that passionate still. And I don't know. I want to get back to the passion again. Because right now I'm just like, ugh. Mm-hmm. I don't, like the last two times I went to the thrift store, I didn't even look for like reselling. I just was there for me.
I've done that recently too, and I'm not full time, but I feel like I've reached a point too where I'm like, so my husband on the weekend, he'll be like, hey, we'll go run our errands and then I'll drive you to the thrift store. Like, he offers, because I just don't do it anymore. I won't willingly go to the thrift store anymore. And he's like, I'll drive you. And like today he was like, how about I just take you to one? I'm like, all right, I guess. Like, I don't want to go, but sure. And I mean, I'm glad I went. I ended up finding some really good shoes, which actually makes me happy, because I was like, for a good like 4 or 5 months, I wasn't finding any good shoes to list. And those, I really enjoy selling shoes. I'm with, I'm with your boyfriend on this. Selling shoes is like, it is great. I love it. But I came into a jackpot over the last, I'd say maybe month. And today was another one of those days. And it like re-energized me a little bit, because I found things that I really, really enjoy. And and the price was good. And it was like, okay, all right, I guess we can go to another one. You know, so I went to three thrift stores today after our errands. And I was exhausted. Like, I definitely don't have the stamina to do all day like I used to.
Yeah.
Like, I did 2 hours and I was like, I gotta go home. Like, I'm done. Yeah. I need to like sit down and relax. But I have lost that like thrill of thrifting and passion to find items like I had. And I think it comes back once you figure out where you want to be with it all. And when there's more stability in one area, it's a little bit easier to find that passion and again, and that thing that you once loved. Right.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I'm in like a transition point right now where I'm still kind of like, I don't want to say like bitter or like mad, but I told my boyfriend this the other night. I was like, it really feels like such a loss to me, because I've put so much of my life into this, and it's really hard to not feel like you failed.
Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
And I know I have, and I know it's just like, you know, things change. And
another day is here and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
You get new passions and, you know, your life changes and you just never know what's going to happen. Like, even tomorrow, I'm on this path to this, but I don't know. Who knows where I'm going to like end up. So I feel like I have a lot of things that I just like need to work through before, you know, I can really get back into reselling or whatever.
Do you think you'll resell all the time? Like, even if it's like small things, do you think it'll always be a part of your life, because it was such a big part of your life for a long time?
I think so. Yeah. I can't imagine not doing it. Like, even if I end up being one of those people that just like cleans out their closet or like their home and resells, even if it's in that capacity, I know I can make extra money. Like, I'm going to do it, you know, it's just one of those things. And I'm very like, if I didn't resell, I would be a hoarder, because you know how I am. I'm very like, oh my God, this is cute. And then it's out of control very fast. So I have to resell. Yeah. And I just have those pieces too, where I'm like, I can't donate that. Someone's not going to appreciate it. I know if somebody buys it, then they're obviously going to appreciate it.
Right. Right. So, they went out of their way to buy it.
Yeah.
What about YouTube? Is there a time and place where you come back to it? The last video you posted was 3 months ago. Don't think I didn't check.
I know.
Last time I posted was in January, so it's fine.
I know.
She had to take a sip before she answers this question.
It's Sprite. I'm being good. I'll have my wine after. Me and my boyfriend talked about this as well. He was like, what are you going to say about YouTube? And I was like, well, I think I'm going to give you the exclusive here.
Oh, okay. Here we go. Exclusive on Thrifter's Villa.
exclusive.
Right, right.
I'm not coming back to YouTube. I think it's done. Yeah. I will, after this podcast comes out, I am planning on making like a farewell video, just because I feel like I owe at least that to people, because I mean, there's people that have been watching me since day one. Mm-hmm. And it's been years, and they're like my family,
right?
You know, so I can't just disappear, but I did have to take some time. That's why it's been 3 months. I had to take some time to really like come to terms with the fact that that was probably my last video.
It's a good one. So, yeah. It's a great one, actually. It's spring and summer 2023 trends, so.
It is, yeah. And I did that for the people. Because everybody, every year, everyone's like, are you going to do a trends video this year? So, I think that's a good one to end on.
Yeah, so. It is. And it's what people liked seeing from you. And I think it's great that you realize that you need to take a step away from it, and like, you had your time on there and it was great, but it's a chapter you need to close, and that's fine.
Yeah. I loved it. I really did. But the internet has just changed so much, and this is even why like I hardly ever post on like any social media at all anymore, because I don't know, I've just gotten to this place in my life where I don't have the energy to sell myself anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm just tired. The people that know me. New people come into my life, they get to know me.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to like social media, I can't do it.
And that's tired. A great boundary to have. I think that's a great boundary to have. And you know, it just shows how much you've grown over the last few years.
Thank you.
And you've created these boundaries for yourself. And I think that's really important, because it's hard to create boundaries when you're in this constant social media content creation realm. It's really hard to have boundaries.
Yeah. And I think like from a mental health perspective, the boundaries are necessary.
Mm-hmm.
And I know like I've been very open about sharing everything, probably too much to a fault. But after I went through my really bad like health scare,
mm-hmm.
probably like what was that, a year ago, almost 2 years ago, I don't know, it just kind of something like clicked in me, and it like really woke me up that maybe there are some things that I just need to keep to myself, and maybe there needs to be a season where I just work on everything. Not alone, like I have people in my life like around me helping me, but I keep it off the internet. Mm-hmm. You know, and as much as I know those videos have helped so many people, and they've helped me just from, you know, talking to those people, some of it does get to the point where you do have to take a step back and take it offline.
Yeah, I think it's okay to process some stuff to the world. And I think it's also okay to process the things that are heavier to yourself without coming out and saying it. And people can ask and you don't have to answer, because
absolutely,
it's your choice if you want to answer that or not. And you don't have to. And if someone can't appreciate that part of it, then you don't need them there, because they don't respect you as a person.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's so many good things for you, though. No, I'm honestly very happy, because I feel like you're in such a much better place than you have been. And you've created this space for yourself. You're finding what really makes you happy, what you love, and just enjoying life and not being in like this constant state of like, I got to create, I got to hustle, I got to sell, I got to do all these different things, because there's just way more to life than that. And who knows? Yeah. Maybe one day you'll come back to it full force again. I mean, like we said, seasons, they come and go.
Yeah.
They do.
And I am notorious for changing my mind. So,
so right now, this is what she's planning. But
yeah.
No, I think it's
so funny, because, sorry.
No, go.
It's just so funny. Like, I won't harp on this too much, but this was years ago. Somebody commented on one of my YouTube videos and was like, I think you might have ADHD. You might want to ask your doctor about it. And I, at the time, I was like hurt and offended by it. I was like, not me.
Yeah. Impossible.
But turns out.
Joke's on me.
Turns out. ADHD and autism. Yay. You were right. Yeah. So I had to make a call back to that like later. Whoever that was, thank you for saying that, because you were right.
Whoever you are out there.
Oh gosh. Whoever you are. And I will continue to change my mind.
That won't change.
No, never.
We just have the diagnosis now. That's it.
Right. That's one thing that will never change.
Well, thank you so much for coming on and chatting with me and catching up and sharing your story with everyone. I think it's so important to just reflect back on, I mean, when you came on season one, that was 2019.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's been a while and a lot has changed since then. And I think it's important to just look back and see how far we've come, and you are thriving in the place that you are now. And that makes me so happy.
Thank you.
Yeah.
It's good to be here. Thank you for having me again.
Of course.
And for always being so kind and sweet to me. And I just love you.
I love you too. Christina's one of those people where, like, if we lived near each other, we would probably be together all the time. All the time.
Absolutely.
It's like long distance sisterly love is what we have for each other. I've always respected you as a person, and the content that you created, it was always very helpful to me when I was, you know, just starting out, and then you're just genuinely a good person. So you're very easy to talk to, and you're always willing to share experiences. And I think there's something to be said about that. So you're always welcome here on Thrifter's Villa. All whenever you want, you can always come back. If you come out with a new project, you better come back first.
Oh, absolutely. I will always give you the exclusive.
Yeah. if you end up doing a live show, I expect to know so I can promote it to the people.
I'm gonna cue you in. You're gonna be in there with me.
All right, everyone. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. I hope you enjoyed it. I will leave Christina's Instagram information down below in the show notes. Totally forgot what that was called for a second. She doesn't really post there, but it's okay. You can go say hi to her.
I just post my life now. Yeah. There's nothing useful there. It's just me.
But you can still go say hi. All right, everyone. I will be back next week with Jen. We are going to be breaking down all of the Aritzia brands, which is going to be a lot of work, but we are excited to do it. All right, everyone. Talk to you later. Bye.